Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
And the Holy Spirit was on him. You can't stop. We can't skip over this. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him that by the Holy Spirit, boy, he had a relationship with God right there. The Holy Spirit's all over him. He's here. He's at the temple. The Holy Spirit's on him. And it had been revealed to him previously by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I love that. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and I want you to catch that. The Spirit was upon him. He had the Holy Ghost all over him, and he walks into the church building. He comes into the temple. He's an old, old man at this time. Some theologians say he's over 360 years old. We don't know, but that's what the majority says. So he's very, very, I know how old Anna in the temple was. She was 105, but I don't know Simeon, and no one else knows it either. It wasn't mentioned, but said he is an old, old man. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took this child in his arms in the church as he was filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed God and said, Lord, now you will let your servant depart in peace according to your word. You promised I would see him. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people in Israel. Right there, Jews and Gentiles. And like I said, a Gentile is simply defined as an individual who is not a Jew. Right here, he says it. He prophesies it. He's doing this. You have to understand, under the unction and in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And how did he know? How did he know that this child was the one? Because the Holy Spirit had told him, and now the Holy Spirit is showing him. Don't you love that? The Holy Spirit tells him, he hears it, and now he has seen it. And when he sees it, he sees him, he recognizes him. You know, there were so many people on earth who just didn't even recognize Jesus. We need to recognize him and know who he is. And his father and mother marveled at what he had said. Talk about God giving Simeon a word by the Holy Spirit. You know, the same Holy Spirit has always been around. He is endless and ageless. And Simeon had waited for Jesus for decades and decades and decades. He had waited. A rabbi that was once talking to a mother who had adopted a child from Haiti as an orphan after waiting about 30 years to become a mother, he told her this. She had waited, this woman, she's a Bible teacher, she had waited for years to become a mother. She's actually a single mother. She adopted a child, couldn't have a child, and adopted a child. And this rabbi she was talking to for one of her teachings, she was wanting to adopt a child or preparing, and he told her, he said, during the era that Luke was writing, you could legally disinherit a biological child. If your child, you know, they stone kids, did all kinds of things, but you could write a right of disinheriting your biological child. You're not mine, you can't come home. Watch this. However, it was illegal for an adoptive parent to disinherit a child. Isn't that interesting? That spoke to my spirit. Once I've been adopted in the kingdom, I cannot be disinherited. I love this. It said it was illegal for an adoptive parent to disinherit a child. When Joseph chose to accompany Mary, the sacrifice that they made was that of a firstborn son. And I want to tell you, the worst thing that I have ever seen that you can do is to adopt a child and then turn it away. I want to tell you of a personal situation going back many years in our family. One of Ken and I's relatives, an aunt of ours, adopted two twin girls. And years later, turned them back in after adoption. You want to know devastation of my dad's whole family was broken beyond what you can imagine. You're going to save somebody and you decide not to save them. You change your mind. Thank you, Jesus, that when you adopted us, you will never change your mind. No matter, and you know why she changed her mind? Because of how she perceived they acted. They did things that normal kids and teenagers would do, nothing out of the ordinary. And she changed her mind. Thank God that when we mess up, when we don't hit the mark, that he does not get rid of us and change his mind. I like this rule. Joseph was an adoptive father. And when God called Mary, he called Joseph just the same. And I want to read to you from Luke 2, 36 to 37, because we see Simeon's account of this. Now let's talk about Anna. As soon as this prayer was prayed under the presence of the Holy Spirit, something else happened. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. We know her after mathematics to be 105 years old, having lived with her husband 7 years, from which she was a virgin and then a widow until she was 84 years. She was 105 years old. The Bible says that she did not depart from the temple, worshiping, fasting, and praying night and day. She literally just stayed at church. She was a widow. She stayed at church, and that's what she did. She fasted and prayed night and day. And coming up at that very hour when Mary and Joseph came to bring the baby Jesus, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. These two people, let me tell you something. They were old, but they were willing to wait. They were willing to wait on the promise. Simeon had recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Anna had been waiting for the Messiah, watching and waiting. Instantly they knew. Instantly they recognized him. Think of the presence of God in that place. And you know what? Suddenly it was all worth the wait. You know, goes back to my story about Joy Lynn adopting the baby, my niece adopting the baby and bringing him home in a t-shirt that said, worth the wait. After years of crying, after miscarriage and miscarriage over here, and just not pregnant this month and not pregnant this month, years of that, then she had the privilege of adopting my granddaughter's Kaylee's baby, you know that, and bringing him home, Felix, and had the shirt, worth the wait. The promises of God that he has prepared for you are worth the wait. It doesn't matter how old you are. They are worth the wait. And did you happen to notice that Anna was worshiping? Did you happen to notice that Simeon was serving? What do you do while you're waiting? You worship and you serve while you're waiting for God to give you the promise, while you're waiting for that marriage to be healed, while you're waiting for that job to come through, while you're waiting for that child to come home, that person to be saved, that wife to be saved, that husband to be saved. You worship and you serve in faith. And here's the thing. Many are waiting for promises. Some are waiting for healing. What do? We worship and serve while we're waiting. Waiting for breakthrough in our life. We worship and serve while we're waiting for the breakthrough. Because even if we pray and we forget we prayed the prayer, I never will forget. I think it was Isabel I was telling years ago that I had told God, you've literally answered every prayer I've ever prayed. And then a few weeks later, God answered a prayer for me that I had forgotten that I prayed. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, you forgot, but I didn't. I will never forget my promises. I will not, even if you do or if you give up on the promise, I don't. And so if we really trust God, we will be willing to wait. We will trust his timing. I want to say a few things that are practical. It is very, very dangerous to get ahead of God and his plan. You will mess it up, I promise you, every single time. You try to do things your way. You try to get ahead of God. I've done it, been there, done it. We can even cross a line and get into rebellion against God. Remember, we recently talked about Saul offering the sacrifice when he was told to wait. You're supposed to wait. He was impatient. He wasn't good at waiting. He was disobedient to God because he had a rebellious heart. He was unwilling to wait on God, and it cost him. It cost him everything. Waiting for a child. Remember Abraham, dear Father Abraham, who had a promise but was unwilling to wait? He believed the promise, but he's like, I believe it, but God probably needs my help. Wrong. You're supposed to worship and serve while you wait. But here's the thing. I want to ask you something else. Not only should we be willing to wait, we should do so in faith, trusting God, working while we wait. Here's the thing. What kind of an attitude do I have while I'm waiting? How do I act while I'm waiting? Do I look around and talk about others who got their blessing and I didn't get mine and maybe God's forgotten me? You know, that's not the kind of waiting we're talking about. How do we act? Because that's what reveals our heart to God. Will you serve God while you wait? Will you worship? Will you continue to be faithful? You know, a perfect example is tithing. I heard someone recently say, but I've given, you know, I've been giving for the past, you know, 6 weeks. I see nothing. Okay. All right. We've got people in the Bible waiting years, you know. They're 100 years old, but okay. You know, to me, that's not really trusting. Trusting is just keep doing what you're doing. Keep coming to church. You know, well, we keep coming to church and look at the empty seats. No, honey, those seats are reserved. Those seats are reserved. We keep doing what we're supposed to do. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, we keep doing what we're doing. Trust God to do what he wants to do. And, you know, Abraham waited, 100 years old worth of wait. Do you know how long Joseph waited before the dream came to pass? At least 30 years. There you go. David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. Do you think he went right to the palace? Oh, I've been anointed. I'm make my way to the palace now. Everybody come with me. No, he got the oil on his head. He didn't get the crown on his head. He got the oil. You got the oil. You haven't got the crown yet. But you are going to get a crown. I can promise you you're going to get a crown. How many of you heard that song? I shall wear a crown someday. You will, but not today. Not today, so let's not get ahead of God. Let's not put the crown on now. Samuel wasn't giving out crowns. He wasn't doing that. The position comes later. The anointing comes now. We are just such a people who are impatient, aren't we? Our humanity, that's where you see it the most, by the way, in traffic. You want to know who somebody is? Get a car with them at rush hour. You know right away if they're a Christian or they're not. You know right away if they're a good Christian or if they're not so good a Christian. Because think about this. God is working in the waiting. Jacob had to serve 7 years for a wife. Then he was given the wrong wife. Then he had to wait and serve another 7 years for Rachel. But he felt it was worth the wait. The paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda, 38 years. He wanted to be healed. He was waiting. A perfect example of someone getting in trouble was Sarah and Abraham. Because when you do that, you know, people say good things come to those who wait. I want to revise that. God things come to those who wait. God's going to give you strength in the waiting. Let me read to you a couple things. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We know that means to serve the Lord and to wait for his promise. It's a double meaning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait, which means to wait patiently. And it also means to serve. So we wait on the Lord. We are not a patient people by nature. In fact, we're the opposite. And impatience will cost you. If you're unwilling to wait at the red light, it will cost you. I am 100% sure that this is the truth. If you're impatient about getting married, it will cost you. Again, I am 100% sure that's the truth. Second marriage, 40 years, 45 years. If you are unwilling to wait for the item to go on sale, the car to go on sale, it will cost you. I know this. We should know this. But still, we try have that tendency to run ahead from with God ahead of God and do things our way. God, you didn't put me in a position yet. I feel, I heard a man say not long ago, I feel very young, said, I feel like I should be a pastor. And I'm not. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to wait. If that's what you feel God has put on your heart, and that's what you feel you're anointed to do in the meantime, you're going to have to be serving your family, your children, your neighbors. You don't give, you have an anointing. You're not getting the position yet. It's not yours yet. It may, in fact, be someone else's. And maybe they're not even as good as you. Maybe the position is Saul's. Maybe the crown right now is Saul's. And you think, that ain't fair. I'm the anointed one over here. It doesn't work like that. You literally have to be able, like David, to serve under an insane king. You literally have to be willing to obey. I watch this in people. Are they willing to take no for an answer? I'm going to read to you a couple verses. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord God is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Even youths, this is Isaiah 40:30-31. Even youths, young people, faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you're unwilling to wait, you're going to fall into a trap. That's what I want to drive home tonight. The enemy will give you a false gift, a false position, fake gold, fake perfume. Be willing to wait for God's best and do not accept a counterfeit. I think I told you this story again, but I'll tell you just one more time. About going to a fancy dinner at an upscale restaurant and everybody else received their meals before me. I waited and waited and asked the server finally, and he shared that the order was being specially prepared. It's not something that's ordered all the time. It was a specialty order. And I want to tell you, that's the most amazing steak and lobster you will ever have, the one that is specially prepared by the chef. And I've thought about that and quickly thought about times when I ask God for something and it seems like it's taking more time than I anticipated or had hoped for. It means simply that God is preparing something that's worth the wait, especially for you. Or it means he's preparing you for what he has for you. Often, God has the position, and sometimes he's preparing the gift for you, but sometimes it's as simple as he has to prepare you for the position. He can't give you that gold. You would go crazy. You would almost lose your salvation. You know, we have to be willing to let God prepare the gift and prepare us for something special. Another analogy that I can come up with in my own life is that of an airplane. I was once on a plane, and the pilot announced that we were being diverted, which really kind of disappointed all of us because Chicago is my home, and we weren't all so far from home, and I wanted to go home. And he told us he did not know how long that was going to be. We were going to be in a holding pattern. Eventually, he said we were going to be circling for a while. And this all seemed so unnecessary to me until he said that Chicago was in a line of a tornado situation and there were several dangerous, he used the word dangerous weather patterns out there. And he said, so we have to do this for our safety. We were avoiding danger. Do you know that God may have you in a holding pattern? God may have to divert some things. You may have to go the long way like they did. God had a reason for not taking them straight through to the promised land, you know, to not distract them. There's a whole story there. But we have to be willing to trust God. We have to be willing to wait on God, even if it means we are Simeon and we are Anna, because we will see the promise of Christ in our life. And all. Let's ask, I would appreciate all of our musicians to come, our worship team. Say that a little bit nicer and friendly. Come on, get down here. Start playing, start singing. But I want God to keep me from being impatient, that I would be willing to trust him in the waiting process. I'm waiting for some things now. I'm waiting for something now that people to be saved, lost to come home, prodigals, all of that. And so are you waiting for some things. But I know that God was faithful to me in my past, so I can trust him today, and I can also trust him with my future. And how I act in the process, I believe this, determines how quickly I will receive the promise. Because God wants to see us trusting him, serving him, worshiping him, and letting him take us through the process. So I just submit that to you tonight. I love that God speaks to the young and old alike. I love that when I read this story that said the Holy Spirit was on him, and he walked into the temple in the Holy Spirit. And as soon as they laid Jesus in his arms, he's an old, old man. And he's like, this is him. He felt it. What a connection. This man had the promise from God. The Holy Spirit is on him, and he's holding Jesus. Hallelujah. What a presence of the Lord. You know, I was telling Frida before service, God, you know, we get so caught up. I'm going to share this with you tonight. We get so caught up in all the messes of life, in this situation, in that situation, in this situation. It can be family, it can be anything. And a lot of times, we got no business. I feel like the Holy Spirit has told me, pull yourself out of the drama zone. Get in a drama-free zone. If you get in the presence of the Lord, nothing matters anymore. It will, all your anxiousness will go. All your anxiety will go if you're in the presence of the Lord. Be careful out there. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.